Okay, on interruptions, we started off by trying to get to the definition of what interruptions are. We first of all started thinking, is it Q3 and Q4 things that take you off task? And it actually probably is, but it also could be just about anything that if it takes you, you know, it bothers what you're doing. Some interruptions are actually okay, and I'll get to that in a second. Our solutions were, number one, let people know when you're in Q2 time. Second one we had was filter out emails by looking at the subject line, which is a great way to figure out which things are just interruptions, which things are important. And this is where Steve came and interrupted us with a good interruption, where he said, no, you guys are off track because there's an electronics group that's already doing this one, so we got back on task. What we came up with after that was plan your day, which is what we've been talking about all day today. Clarify expectations, which is what we did with Steve. Delegate. And last, just say no. Sometimes there's things that come up that it's an interruption. You just don't have time to do it right now. Just say, listen, I can't do it. Or else if you can, you can't do it now, but you can later. Let them know when so you can just set those expectations.
Super. Thank you. Other than the email and the voicemail, interruptions come in a lot of different formats. But if you think about it, when it's another person and they're coming into your space, whether it's a phone call or whether they're coming in live, oftentimes we don't know why they're there. So we don't know if this interruption, where it fits, whether it is a quadrant one or not, or a three. Because typically interruptions happen in kind of a sneaky way. You know, and maybe you've had the experience where you're working on something and all of a sudden you feel an omnipresence in the room. You know, and you look up at the doorway, and there in the doorway of your cubicle or your office is just, it's not even the whole person. They're kind of leaning over, so the doorway hits about the neck, and it looks like this head suspended right there, you know? And you know what they're waiting for? Eye contact. As soon as you look up and make eye contact, this head says, got a minute? And what do we typically say? Sure, come on in. And of course they do. His head comes in, the body follows. And they pull up a chair, and they sit down, or they're, as they're walking in, and they say something like, so, Harry, how's it going? Did you have a good weekend? But I'll tell you what, we had this incredible weekend planned, and my daughter came down with mono. And by this point, Harry is sitting here, and he's thinking, have you mistaken me for someone who cares? You know? And it was because when I started the conversation, he opened it up. Sometimes he even says, how was your weekend? You know, he even asks you. But here's a way you can find out in a very service-driven way why the person is there. At that point, you can make a decision. You know, in this folder, again, under interruptions, it'll tell you there are three types of interruptions. Those that are necessary, which means it belongs to you and you have to do it right now, which means quadrant one. Those that are necessary, but untimely. They're yours, but it really doesn't have to be right now. And there are those that are unnecessary. Whatever the reason is I'm here is not something you're ever going to have to deal with. You just have to make a decision whether or how to take care of that. But he doesn't know that until he asks me. And so if instead I were to come in and say, Harry, how was your weekend? And he says, I ate too much or something. And then he says, how may I help you? Just like that, it's a service question, or what can I do for you? We call it the point question. But he brings it to the point softly, but the key is he brings it to the point. He says, Steve, weekend was great, thanks for asking. What can I do for you? And I'll tell him why I'm here. At that moment, he makes a decision. Is this necessary? If it is, he stops what he's doing, puts time into it. Is it necessary but untimely? In other words, yeah, it belongs to him, but here's what he said, in an hour. Specific time. Reschedule it, don't put people off. You put people off, they won't let you do it. Or they'll be mad at you. If you say, Steve, can we do this at 2:00? I've really got to finish this first. And if 2:00 won't work for me, I'll tell them. If it will, I'll tell them. But at least now we have the point of discussion. Sometimes that's hard if I'm his boss. If it's unnecessary, and you don't even need to want to reschedule it, You know, then you have to just be honest with people. Anytime you try and pull something on somebody, the risk of getting caught and being thought of as someone you can't trust is more detrimental than if you're honest with somebody, and they may feel a little offended for a while, but they'll get over it. So again, some great suggestions in here. All of the incoming information, whether it be email or voicemail or paper mail, all the stuff that's coming in addition to some of the techniques we've talked about, we need a system for filtering it. You know, the old system for filtering used to be never handle a piece of paper more than once. And that was when the only thing we got was paper mail. The fault or the fallacy with that was that if you were going to handle each piece of paper only once, that meant that you had to do something with it, and that meant that you might be doing something with lower priority tasks or projects. I think the real issue is the first time you handle it, make a decision. You might have to handle it again later, but it's not handle it only once. It's the first time you handle it, make a decision. Don't keep putting off the decision. And then the question becomes, well, what kind of decision should I make? And that's where this page becomes helpful. We say that when incoming information hits you, there are only three decisions: to file it, to act on it, or to delete it. Now, if you put that in relationship to our quadrants, which ones am I probably going to file? Sure, Q2 things. I definitely want to keep, file, and maybe then act on it later. And if I file it, how am I going to find it again? A note in your planner where you put it. You see, if you're going to then act on it later, those parentheses that earlier we put dates in don't always have to have dates in them. But if you use the parenthetical reference to always say to you, this is the go-to place for this item, the go-to place could be a file. And that file could be in your computer. The file could be in a file drawer. Or if it's a gift that you've hidden in a shoebox under the bed, in parentheses it says S-B-U-B. You know, for shoebox under bed, whatever. Wherever you have put the information you need for the entry, tell yourself in parentheses the go-to place. So there will be some Q2 things that you'll file. The act on it, interestingly enough, will not only be, of course, Q1, but there are some Q2s that you'll also act on. And of course, deleting things would be 3 and 4. Now, one additional cut at this, when you consider acting on it, you have some different choices when it comes to act on it. One is to reply, or to do whatever it is this is asking you to do. And that could be now or later. If it's later, we're back to filing it until later, but making sure you have rescheduled it. Now, you can forward it to someone or delegate it to someone. What's the difference?
It would be accountability. Who's responsible for what happens with that piece of information? If it's something that I have to get back to somebody on and I'm accountable for it, then I'm delegating it. I'm forwarding it, and something's got to happen. If it's something that I'm not really involved, I'm just a middle person passing on information, then it's not a big deal for me.
Yeah, so if I'm going to forward something on, chances are I don't need anything back. I'm just forwarding on, because you know what? This is yours. It's not mine. If I'm going to delegate and I'm asking someone else to do it, then the follow-up has to be put in place. Again, difference between delegating and dumping. You know, dumping is giving things you don't like to people. Delegating is delegating because it's the right person to do this, but it needs to include the follow-up plan. When are we going to get back together, or when I expect the response, or when I expect it back? And this information is also in keeping your focus. So you want to review this just to keep that filter in mind. But this is very helpful in filtering what comes in. If you have a filtering process, you're much better able to decide, even with email, should these things be going into folders or deleted, or should I set up a rule to always delete them?